Thanks. So my name's Emily, and I'm going to be talking with you about some of the work we've been doing in the Western Lake Erie Basin on the edge of field. And so just to give a little background, I think the previous talks have given a little bit of insight into the algal blooms that a lot of different watersheds are suffering from, including the Chesapeake Bay, like we heard about previously. But in addition to that, the Lake Erie, and specifically Western Lake Erie Basin, where we're working. And just to give you some visuals, it can get pretty nasty in the lake. And so all the work that we're doing on the edge of field is with the goal of trying to reduce phosphorus reaching the lake and potentially decreasing the size and severity of the blooms. And so how we're approaching this is with edge of field research. And so we're working on 20 different farms in the Western Lake Erie Basin, and we have a paired design study. So at each of the farms, we have two fields. And one field, we're keeping business as usual, and we're monitoring for baseline. And then the other field is where we're implementing some sort of treatment or change, looking at different management practices. Maybe it's related to fertilizer placement. Maybe it's related to cover crop. And so at each of these fields, we have surface runoff monitoring, as you can see in the middle picture with this flume. It looks similar to the flumes we saw in Kansas with our previous presenter. And then we also have tile or subsurface drainage monitoring. And so we can potentially have four of these solar panel setups at each farm. And just to give you some more context, here's Ohio, and then all of our sites are predominantly in Northwest Ohio, which falls in the Lake Erie Basin. And then the different counties are shaded with tile, and so tile drainage, percent tile drainage. And so we're in a heavily tiled part of the state, and this is a lot of the soils are former swamplands, and so there wouldn't be any agriculture in this part of the country were it not for tile drainage. And so to give some overview data, so what we've been measuring in surface and tile in terms of dissolved reactive phosphorus, here this graph is DRP concentration in milligrams per liter. These shaded boxes are subsurface flow, and the open boxes are surface. And you can also see that there's a dashed line across this graph. And so part of the work that we're doing in this watershed is in conjunction with Canada. And so there's been a binational agreement to set targets to try and reduce these blooms. And so this 0.05 milligrams per liter is a target, a calculated target we use on a field scale. So the binational agreement has calculated targets on a watershed scale, and we scale that down. And so you can see that some of our fields are meeting that target, but a lot of them are over. And in general, when it comes to dissolved reactive phosphorus concentrations, the surface runoff, as one might expect, is greater than what you're measuring in the subsurface. However, when you look at the loads coming off the fields, that trend tends to switch. And so these systems that we're working in are typically tile drain dominant. And so we're seeing greater flows from the tile than we are in overland flow or surface runoff. So here you can see the March to July season, and then on an annual basis, those box and whisker plots have been flip-flopped. So we have subsurface is generally greater than surface. And then for the different seasons, we again have target loads. So like on the previous slide where we had target concentrations that we're trying to meet, now we have target loads. And so you can see, again, some of our fields are above, some are below those targets. But in general, we're getting a lot of phosphorus moving off this landscape in tile. And so just to kind of bring this together in some key points, the majority of our annual edge of field phosphorus losses are coming from tile drainage. But surface runoff is still a concern, right? So we could have large rainfall events with high intensity right after application. That would be a concern with surface runoff. And less than half of our field sites are currently meeting targets. At least some of them are. We still have some work to do on quite a few of the fields. But in order to meet these goals, there's going to have to be significant reductions in surface and subsurface load to try and decrease blooms in the lake. And so part of the work that I've been focusing on as a soil scientist in this ag engineering group is to look at phosphorus stratification and just to look at phosphorus in the soil in general. And so a lot of people theorize and hypothesize, and previous work has shown that when you have that higher concentration of phosphorus in your top layers of soil, that that can help, that can act as a source or drive some of this phosphorus loss that we're seeing on the edge of field. And so just to generalize from some of the soils that were collected in previous years, about that top inch is 61% greater in concentration than that 0 to 20 centimeters or 0 to 8 inch profile. And so you do see higher concentrations, but what does that mean and why do we care? And again, it's a potential cause of eutrophication. It's maybe not the only thing. It definitely is not the only thing contributing, but it's something worth looking at. And I know Dave Baker and Laura Johnson and some folks at Heidelberg University in Ohio have also looked at this stratification issue, and they're linking some of that higher concentration in the surface 1 to 2 inches with potential losses off of the field and into the lake. And so I wanted to look at our data overall. And so when I look, this is all based on one soil sampling campaign of our fields. And when I looked at all the data, you can see that there's a couple fields that are outliers. So we have the majority of our fields fall into the 0 to 120 malic 3 phosphorus range, concentration range, milligram per kilogram. Where, and then there's a couple fields that are drawing that, skewing that data a bit. And so for the purposes of the rest of the talk, I took those fields out, but as we collect more data, it's been promising to see that, maybe not promising is the wrong word, but I've been getting some more data points in that 120 to 300 range, and so perhaps as we collect more soil samples and as we expand our data set for soils, there'll be more of a relationship in that range, but for now I'm focusing on that 0 to 100, 0 to 150 range. And so I chose to define stratification in the context of our work as dividing the concentration in the 0 to 5 centimeters by the concentration in the 5 to 20 centimeter range. And so you can see the majority of our fields fall in the, what I arbitrarily decided to call the medium zone. So this kind of calculation gives you a unitless value. So you could draw lines wherever you want, but I chose to draw them 0 to 1, 1 to 3, and over 3. And so you can see the majority of our fields would fall in that middle category, but what does that mean? How do we use that? And so I chose to build kind of a somewhat complicated chart, but I'll see if I can explain it to you. So we have number of fields, again, on the y-axis, but then along the x-axis, I chose to divide the graph by buildup zone, maintenance, and drawdown. And that's based on the state of Ohio's fertilizer recommendations. And so when you categorize the same fields within where they fall on the fertilizer recommendations, you see the majority of our fields would be in the buildup or maintenance zone. So that's 0 to 28 malic P or 28 to 46 malic P. And then we do have a few fields that would be considered drawdown. So those are those over 100 part per million fields. And so I just tried to give it some context. So maybe if we use that unitless or dimensionless value in conjunction with fertilizer recommendations, then that could be a way to kind of assess your field. How do we need to manage the phosphorus moving forward? And so taking some of what I've talked about and drawing some regressions with the water data. So these graphs are looking at dissolved reactive phosphorus concentrations in tile flow versus soil test phosphorus. So along this axis, we have the concentrations. So we have tile flow concentrations and surface runoff concentrations of DRP, and then we have malic 3 phosphorus, soil test phosphorus, along the x-axis. And if you can see, there's a slight relationship with surface runoff. I mean, there is. The R-squares are maybe 0.3 to 0.4 on the surface, and you'd expect that. For the soil depth, 0 to 2.5, and the surface runoff concentrations, that makes sense. But there is a slight relationship as well with the tile flow, maybe not at depth, but somewhat at the surface, and so maybe that's playing into the hypothesis of soil stratification driving some of the phosphorus losses at the edge of field. When we look at total phosphorus concentrations in our water versus the soil test phosphorus, we don't see a relationship with tile, which one might expect because total P generally is a lot of the sediment-bound phosphorus. And we aren't seeing a whole lot of sediment in our tile. When you look at surface runoff, you do see the relationship that you might expect with total phosphorus or sediment-bound P and surface runoff concentrations of P. And so this is some of the preliminary work that we're doing and continuing to work on as we collect more data. And some key points just to take home is that P stratification is not that easy to define, and it's more than a one-step process. So a lot of people might want, like, oh, are my fields highly stratified? Can you just give me a number? Well, it's not that simple in my mind. I think we need more than just one number to give people. And then there is a relationship potentially between the surface runoff and tile drainage and phosphorus measured in those waters. So there is a relationship between what we see coming off the tile and what we're measuring in the soil. And what BMPs would we need to implement for fields that have greater stratification, and what does that mean for fertilizer management? And so some of the work that we're doing, you know, gets at some of this idea of legacy P, which is a big kind of topic lately, but if we're up here at a near zero P budget, then what do we do to account for all this phosphorus? And so is Lake Erie going to continue to suffer from these algal blooms because of legacy P? I think that's a valid question. And how do we deal with it? Do we implement some of the 4Rs? So a lot of the work that we're doing is 4R nutrient stewardship related, so right source, right rate, right time, and right place. Will that help manage some of these phosphorus issues? Potentially. I think it's a good place to start, and probably at a bare minimum is something that what most producers should be working towards. But due to legacy P, phosphorus is likely to continue to be an issue. How we manage it will be interesting, whether it be on land, in the ditch, with soil, with water management and water control. So moving forward, it should be interesting, and I'd like to acknowledge the Edge of Field team, without which none of this work would be possible. And yeah, thanks.
All right. We have a couple of minutes for questions.
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed, I think if you go back to your slide with the phosphorus in the tile versus the soil phosphorus.
One of those graphs.
Yeah, there you go. So you've got a few points there with low soil phosphorus that are really pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get anything that you can know about those sites that makes you think that phosphorus is more likely to move?
Well, in some of these sites, and actually, I know it was mentioned earlier, we've done some macro forest studies on some of the, like, conservation tillage or no-till farm sites, and there are preferential flow paths in there where there is phosphorus moving. We've done those on, like, rainfall simulations and small kind of lysimeter studies to prove that, and I think that could be part of the reason, because sometimes we have higher soil test P fields that aren't necessarily showing higher concentrations of P in the outlets, on the tile or in the surface. So there's kind of both situations. Yeah, there's potential for that. Good question. Yeah.
Speaking of large macro forests, how many of these tile fields are connected by the outlet terraces?
That's a good question, and I do.
Can you repeat that question?
My question was, in the tile fields, how many of them are connected to pipe outlet terraces, which is a really big macro forest?
I don't have the answer for you. That's a good question, though. Yeah.
What's the tillage for most of these?
Most of them, there's some. Like, it's typically rotational till. Even the guys that say they're no-till, for example, are going in and installing tile, and then they're ripping up their field. So there's a lot of minimal till conservation tillage. I don't think any of the farms have been no-till for that long, like 10 years, for example. Yes.
Yeah,